welcome to episode 218 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or are just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Donna, Laura, and this week we're also joined by our fellow Outlander travel agent, Amy!
Yay! Yay!
Welcome, Amy.
Oh, that's sweet.
3 years ago, Disney and Alma Waterways announced their partnership on a brand new product line for Adventures by Disney, adding river cruises to the already rich portfolio of family-friendly European guided vacations. 2 years ago, they set sail on the Rhine and now have options on the Rhine, the Danube, and new for next year, the Seine.
Yes, you said it right. Yay!
Should have read these things. Recently, Elizabeth and Amy were among the very few selected to experience the first ever joint familiarization trip between Adventures by Disney and Alma Waterways to experience this partnership firsthand on the Danube. So we thought we would chat with them and hear what they experienced and learned from this amazing opportunity. So let's get started. So why, what makes this a good choice for families? Because aren't river cruises just for old people?
Well, that's what makes it a good, that's what makes it a good choice for families. it is river cruises traditionally are for the 40 and up, so not old people. Thank you very much.
I mean, you know, I know I'd like it.
But they're generally not kid-friendly. And in fact, Viking River Cruises has made their cruises 18 and up. Mm-hmm. So no children are even allowed. Even because with many river cruise lines, if you want to bring your kids, you can. But you have to understand that they'd be in their own cabin. You know, there's not usually triples and quads on a river cruise.
Right.
There aren't usually connecting cabins on a river cruise. So what? And then to know also, it's an intellectual vacation. It's a little bit more about history and
right.
You know, and so. Your kid has to be a certain kind of kid.
So no kids clubs.
Yeah, no kids clubs. No,
no characters,
no,
even though it's
no water slides.
No. Yes. And even the food, like no mac and cheese, no chicken fingers, you know, that sort of thing. So basically, Adventures by Disney went to Alma and said, hey, what can we do about this to make it family friendly? And so Alma said, we can add connecting staterooms to our new builds. We can add triples and quads even. There's the suite on this ship will sleep four. We can add macaroni and cheese and chicken nuggets. So during dinner, there's actually a buffet in the lounge, the kid-friendly buffet, junior adventurers, excuse me. We don't call them kids. We call them junior adventurers, where they can get their mac and cheese and their, you know, plain spaghetti noodles and that sort of thing. So all that. So that's what, and then they change the experiences up a little bit. So instead of just walking tours and, you know, lectures and that sort of thing, they add much more active hands-on activities.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So did you, what was your itinerary? Where did you guys go?
It got changed. The rivers were down, which can happen, but I guess this year is a pretty bad year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I kept hearing that it's worse than even normal.
Mm-hmm.
When we were supposed to set sail out of Budapest, but the rivers didn't, am I correct in hearing this? Didn't they say the rivers were only 11 feet deep in Budapest?
11 feet is pretty pretty high. They would have been able to sail. My understanding was that it was a hand's width.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like inches of water. Yeah.
Wow.
So we stayed overnight in Budapest, but normally you would start sailing in Budapest. We spent one night there, and then we were motor coached into Vienna,
mm-hmm.
which would have been the next stop anyways. Budapest to Vienna. I don't have my itinerary in front of me to see what it should have been. And then we sailed from Vienna to Melk, correct? I'm going to get Dernstein.
Dernstein first, and then Melk.
Dernstein, Melk, which would have all been on the regular itinerary. Then we went to Salzburg. Was Salzburg
yep.
next?
It's Linz, but then we, yeah, you Linz is sort of the gateway to Salzburg, yeah. Were you on this trip?
I was, and I'm like thinking, but I already am looking at my pictures and having to go back to my notes and see what pictures were from where. Vilshoven. No,
mm-hmm.
we ended in Vilshoven because we had to stop. That wouldn't normally be a stop, though, right? Or would it be a half-day stop?
I don't think Villechevron was supposed to be the stop. We did stop in Passau, which I do believe is normally a stop. And then we went on to Villechevron to get off. But I don't think that that was... I think originally we were supposed to just sail to Nuremberg.
So you couldn't sail all the way to Nuremberg?
Correct, yeah. So in Villechevron we had
like
to...
2 hours.
We had to disembark, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting, and I don't think people realize that can happen when they are looking at river cruises. So how do you think that changed your experience?
It changed our times where we would have been sailing, sitting on couches, lounging in bed, reading, to sitting on a coach, motor coach, which is a different experience. It wasn't, like, it's not, these motor coaches are really nice, but mm-hmm. it's not... You can't move freely about. Seatbelt laws are serious in Europe. So, you know, there is a restroom on the bus if you really have to go. But in general...
They don't drive like 100 miles an hour, do they?
No. No, not in the motor coach.
But so, really, it only took 2 days away from mm-hmm. our seven-night sailing. On the front mm-hmm. end one night and on the back end one night.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't... And the hotels were... I mean, that hotel in Budapest was amazing, right on the river. The Sofitel.
The thing that's a luxury brand.
Mm-hmm. The thing that was a bummer was, and incidentally, the location of that, it literally is steps away from the Chain Bridge, which is the famous bridge with the lions at the mm-hmm. front. So it was definitely a great location. The bummer was we were supposed to be able to see the lights of Budapest from the water. One of the things that we were that was on our itinerary was a sort of they called it an illuminations cruise, where you know, basically mm-hmm. are going up and down the river right there in Budapest to see the lights. So that was a bummer to miss that. You could still walk across the bridge and see. I mean, it's not like you couldn't experience it, but it's different from experiencing it on the water with a glass
of wine
in hand.
Yeah. I've heard it's pretty amazing to see that at night.
Yeah. So, and then the other thing is we would have sailed past Bratislava, which I would have liked to have seen from the water as well. So they're bummers, but you know, it's an excuse to go back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Well,
oh, darn.
The moral is to just be flexible because you don't mm-hmm. know. It's just like if you are flying somewhere and weather disrupts your flight, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, things happen.
Happens to me all the time.
Or if you lose your luggage, mm-hmm. right?
Or you lose your luggage. Yes.
And people did lose their luggage on this, although even Amy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. After running to my flight in London and almost missing it. Yeah. My luggage didn't make it, but I got it at 12:30 in the morning, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That wow. same night.
But you're still doing better than I do.
Yeah. And actually there were several people who had bags that showed up that, you know, late that night. And then there was one person on the cruise who got his bag, I think 3 days into the trip, but
he kept following us. Yeah. Just near us that we would fail. Yeah.
Yeah. Then Amma was really good to him. And of course there's laundry services on board and people on the cruise were offering him clothes, you know, a change of clothes and stuff. So,
Amma went out and bought him clothes, a couple of things, right? Mm-hmm. Amma or mm-hmm. the adventure guide, somebody went out and bought mm-hmm. him some stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, they took good care of him. So, so that was the main thing. And then we missed Nuremberg, really. I mean, we did it on our own, but we should have sailed in earlier, and we had a walking tour scheduled where we could see the Zeppelin fields and all that. We didn't get to do that. We did, I would say self-guided, but actually one of our friends, Brooke, has a friend who lives there, and so she actually was our guide. But it was in the evening. It was night, so it was dark. So we couldn't really see as much. We did, you know, walk up to the castle, and we were supposed to walk through the castle, but it got late after dinner, and I had a 6 a.m. flight. So Amy and I had to taxi out of there instead of doing the rest of the walking.
That's the only thing. I think I would really have loved to have seen that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah.
So you have to go back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and Nuremberg, it should be said that not every river cruise even goes to Nuremberg to begin with. I think that part of the river is a little bit more shallow. Amma has very low draft, so they can navigate rivers that sometimes some other companies can't. And every river cruise company handles low water differently. So you'll want to talk to your travel agent about the river cruise that you're choosing and what their backup plans are. Because, you know, some of them will put you on a coach a lot more often, depending on the situation. And some will cancel. I know a few Rhine River cruises just canceled right after ours. But other lines are still doing them. So, you know, it just depends on the ship and what it can do.
Wow. So talk about the Christmas markets, because that was...
We did get to see some.
I wish you could see it. I would, like, hold up my mugs. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
I loved it. I have never been to a Christmas market, and I've heard people talk about them, and I didn't really understand what it was. What's a Christmas market? I mean, what do you do? But it is
Christmas.
So cute. What are they? They're little individual little, I want to say huts, but little buildings that are set up. And everybody has a special craft, a special thing they make or sell. All individual, like just, it could be gingerbreads, it could be chocolates, it could be ornaments, it could be what else was there?
Handmade
cheese.
Oh my gosh, the cheese.
The cheese, video of the cheese.
But you have to, there's always a couple that sell the wine. Oh my gosh.
Glue wine.
Yeah. Blue vine, right?
Yep.
Yeah, mulled wine. Warm mulled wine.
Yeah.
And
Heidi has talked about that.
Oh my gosh, yes. But you don't even have to get that. There's other hot drinks you can drink. I think another day I had something with rum in it.
Yeah, I tasted something that was like orange and vodka, I think. But it was warm, so yeah.
Yeah, everything's warm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was amazing.
From the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to walk around with that. Oh, mm-hmm. That was awesome. I loved it. Yeah, I loved it. And they only take cash, most of them. Mm-hmm. So just remember that if you're going to have lots of euros with mm-hmm. you.
That's nice that you can just get euros, though, and not have to worry about changing it every country.
Well, you did have to. So I do have a whole bunch of Hungarian money. So forints, yeah. The forint is, what is it, like 250 forints equals about 88 cents. So it's a really difficult trans.
Yeah, so you have a bill that says 5,000 on it. And then in your head, you're going, wow. My kids saw that when I first got a meal to be added 10,000 and a 5,000.
Yeah. But that was, you know, Amy and I sat down, we had a beer. And did you have a glass of wine that night? And so it was a beer and wine. And they bring you this little hors d'oeuvre tray with it as well. And it was like $7. You know, but we get the bill and we're like, oh, and then we went, oh, you know, once you do the math, it's like, oh, it's not so bad. So, so I do have a fistful of forints still, but, Chris and Athena are going back to Hungary when they do their Central Europe tour. So, so I actually had other agents like selling me their forints. So I think, I think I told Chris he's got plenty to spend. So the Budapest market was open, although Amy and I didn't make it because we're old and we needed to sleep after our flights. And I think Amy was also a little stressed out about her luggage. And then so we missed the Budapest one. And then in Vienna, that one was open. And then the one in Salzburg was open. But the Germany markets, which Heidi has told us many, many times, don't open until the Sunday after.
Sunday after.
It's basically the fifth Sunday of the month or something like that. It's the Sunday after Thanksgiving is what it turns out to be. But, of course, in Germany, they don't care about Thanksgiving. But it goes with another holiday.
Like the last Sunday.
It might be the last Sunday.
So,
and just
now,
for
people
listening, this is 2018, and we went from November 17th through the 25th.
Yeah.
So it was the week of Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Thanksgiving was also very early this year.
It was.
Yeah, I guess it was. So talk about the Adventures by Disney part of it. So what were the excursions like, and what was the Disney difference kind of thing?
So most of the time the difference was there would be a kids activity. And of course this was a special sailing. So it was all travel agents. So there were a couple of children on board. None super young. I want to say the youngest one.
14.
Yeah. It was probably, she might've been 12 if, you know, just looked a little bit older, but, not much younger than that. And so we didn't actually have the kids activities, you know, this was also usually Adventures by Disney doesn't sail at this, you know, in November.
Mm-hmm.
So this was put together sort of on the fly. So we couldn't do everything that they normally do. And some of the things we did had to be changed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's at the Schlosshof in Vienna, which is actually a country palace, that not everybody goes to. It's sort of off the beaten path. And they said, we'll be the only group there. And we didn't really believe them, but, it was true. we're pretty much the only people there, especially when we got there. And the guides are all dressed as in costume, in period costume.
Mm-hmm.
They take on this sort of persona of like a lady in waiting or, you know, a, sort of a member of the court. Mm-hmm. And then the kids go off and make gingerbread cookies, or depending on the time of year, it could be different kinds of cookies. So they showed us that activity and actually let us make cookies in that case. But then another case, there were costumes there, so they can dress in costume. Mm-hmm. Costumes didn't fit us, so we couldn't dress in them. But they had this tons of kids' costumes. They might have fit Amy. We didn't try. So, various lots of kids' costumes where they could dress in period clothing. They do that at the Milk Abbey, too, this Benedictine Abbey that they take you to. Mm-hmm. The kids dress up. They have a few kids dress up like monks. Mm-hmm. So they can see what that's like. Lots of hands-on stuff like that. And then the salt mines, it's almost a little theme park, which you would think. They're like, we're going to go to the salt mines. And we're like, okay. And you can sort of tell there's people going, that sounds great.
But the salt mines are really interesting, and they have the big slides. Yep. And a lot of fun.
Yep, exactly. You take a little train in, and they sort of suggested we sing hi-ho, hi-ho. So there are moments where Disney, you know, pokes its head in. But
so do you get to lick the walls and stuff?
I wouldn't suggest it.
I think Sandy, when you go, you absolutely should, and be sure to video it.
Is it a Willy Wonka, Sandy?
But you can see the cells, so they showed us, like, you can see it in the walls. So
yeah, and
there is, if you know the history, it's really mm-hmm. cool with the whole Hitler and Eagle's Nest, right? Mm-hmm. That's nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and so this is no longer an active mine, but they keep it open as a museum, and they have these, you know, cheesy little videos, and but you do, you know, you ride down in a train, and then you take these slides down, which are, you know, they're not like your full metal slides. They're these rails that you basically put each butt cheek on a rail. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Really. It's,
yep.
And we went into pairs, so we were like tobogganing, Elizabeth and I together,
mm-hmm.
going down. And yeah.
Really? And they take your picture and they tell you how fast you were going. They've got a speed camera on.
Yeah, you go, what is it, like 20 miles an hour?
We hit 30.
What? Are you sitting mm-hmm. on like a mat or something?
Nope.
No.
It's just you and your butt cheeks. Yep.
Well, you and your pants.
You do get special pants, incidentally. You do have to suit up. So you're wearing this they're like coveralls, basically, that do not fit at all. So as you're hiking through this, you know, you go through about a mile of this, you know, of the mines, and I'm like walking around hiking my pants up, and they give you an overshirt as well. And the pants have like this extra leather on it that I think helps you.
So your butt doesn't catch on fire.
So your butt doesn't catch on fire.
You have that picture, by the way. I want that picture. You don't want to add
that. That should be the podcast picture.
Yeah, of my butt on fire. I don't think
of us dressing our things.
Yes, we do have the picture of us dressing our things. We can do that. Yeah, we didn't get a picture on the slide. I was too cheap to pay for it. So
you should have had someone at the bottom, like snapping.
Yeah, we actually, I think we did. Actually, I could probably ask. I think one or two people took some, so I'm sure I could get them. Actually, I need to go through do my downloads because people were airdropping stuff. We were airdropping stuff to each other the whole time. So I don't even know. I probably have, I might have pictures of somebody's butt for all I know. I have no idea what came through. Yeah. So, that's the main thing. And then with the, like I said, the food choices are different. So they go to the Lazar Equestrian Park, which is obviously a horse farm, and you make goulash, which is a traditional Hungarian dish. It's a hands-on thing. You open campfire, you know, kettle thing. There's a petting zoo there. So, or maybe that was the looking zoo, not the petting zoo. The petting zoo was
right.
Now,
these excursions that they're offering, and they've got some that are more for Adventures by Disney, they're more kid friendly. But if you are on an AMA, just normal cruise for AMA waterways, do they still offer those same kid-friendly excursions?
Nope. Those excursions are exclusive to it. Yeah. Now, they may offer similar ones. They may still go to Lazar Park. I would actually have to look. And I will say it was a little confusing because we didn't get our itinerary until very close in because they weren't sure what the river was going to be like. So we weren't exactly sure what we were going to be doing. So before we started recording, Donna, you were like, I really wish that you could, you know, I'd known you were going to the salt mines. I was like, well, had I known I was going to the salt mines, I would have been happy to share that with you. But I did not know. So it wasn't.
Because it's the best salt.
And I did buy some, but I didn't buy enough to share. I feel bad. But
it's okay. I'll just have to go myself.
Yes, exactly. So, we didn't really know exactly what we get to do. And there were things that were also spoiled by the weather. There's a hike up to Dernstein Castle, which I guess wasn't spoiled. Amy was going to go on it, and then they canceled it, and then she went on it. So you want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh, that was awesome. That was in Dernstein. That was one of my favorite villages. And if anybody listening has ever been to Ez, south of France, it reminded me a lot of that area. But like a storybook little town with these cobblestone roads, shops on all the sides, just going up a little mountain. It's so, so adorable. But at the top, there is an old fort, and it's dilapidated and falling apart, but there's still a lot of history going up that. And that was the fort that Richard, the Lionheart, when he was captured, was taken to.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty amazing. But what was I going to say? Earlier you mentioned the differences. Well, so not the differences, but basically a lot of the things we did too are offered on AMA.
Mm-hmm.
But when Adventures by Disney does it, they offer with that same excursion something for the kids to do. So the adults can separate from the kids and still enjoy the history and enjoy what they would like while the kids would be bored out of their minds. And Adventures by Disney takes over and does the fun stuff with them.
Yes.
Making cookies and stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And AMA actually does have a technology called, I always call it Whisper Vox, but it's Quiet Vox. And I've talked about this on previous episodes that we've done about AMA. Adventures by Disney uses them as well. They're basically little units that you can put around your neck, like a, you know, like a radio or a Walkman or whatever. And there's an earpiece. And so then your tour guide, your walking guide or whatever, has a microphone. So no matter where you are in the group, you can hear the guide without, you know, having to be right in front of them or be right next to them.
Yeah.
So it allows you to wander a little bit. It gives you a little bit more freedom as a tourist to walk at your own pace, you
and
know,
not miss
smell that flower, take that picture and not miss anything that was being said.
Loved
so,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And both, you know, both options offer it. And you still get a lot of the other things that AMA is really well known for. There's a Chien de Rotisserie's dinner, which is a French meal that, you know, has to do with the culinary society that AMA is in, the exclusive culinary society. There's a gala meal. Chef's table is available for you to book once you're on board. At complimentary. It's just a specialty dining experience, but it's not an additional charge. There's a sip and sail hour, a cocktail hour before dinner. And I was pleased to discover that cocktail hour, since we haven't talked about booze yet, not only includes beer and wine, but it includes some cocktails. Not any cocktail that you want, but like, you know, there's
a wine night is a little bit different too. They had different ones every night.
Yeah,
right?
Well, they had some that they sort of focused on as the specialty, but I think there's a Manhattan, a gin fizz, a lemon drop martini, right? I think was there a margarita might have been an offering one night. I don't remember
because I had wine every
yeah.
night.
Yeah, I'm sort of detoxing right now because there was so much wine.
Yeah, me too.
And beer and wine is included with dinner and lunch. So it flows freely.
Then you can bring wine on board, right?
You can, but I don't know why you'd want to.
You would not. And you know, I was wondering about that too, how this was going to compare to like all these ocean cruises that offer these all you can drink packages, but you didn't need it. You had your hour before dinner where you would drink as much as you wanted. You could all during dinner, which is a 2 hour thing. You're eating so many courses. You can have as much wine or even sodas, they said too, were free during dinner too.
Mm-hmm.
And really then you go to bed. And if you want to go back up to the lounge afterwards and have a glass, then you pay for a glass. And then you're busy all day. Like we were, I mean, maybe it's different with the regular AMA cruises, but I think you're still busy. You're still doing excursions and you're not on the ship to drink anyways.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's not to say like when I've done AMA before, I would stop at a beer garden and have a beer
or we had
wine tastings because I was on a wine cruise. So, and you could buy wine, but they're serving local wine on the ship. So there's really no need for you to drink it on the ship. Now you might want to take it home.
Yeah.
One thing that I did do was I would buy local craft beers when in the shops, and then I would have that in the afternoon when I would have had to pay for a drink. So in that case, yeah, it does make sense to bring it on board. But, you know, any wine that I buy when I'm on a river cruise like that would be to
How
come
easy
home.
Is it to find Michelob Ultra?
I don't know. I didn't look. And I actually
real beer.
I actually did not drink very much beer on this trip.
You didn't. I was you didn't,
because they kept serving wine, and once I start with something, and then I stick with it. So yeah, I only had a couple of beers, but they were delicious. They were delicious.
I have a specific question about one of the places you visited, the Salzburg. Did you do any? Is that where you would do like a Sound of Music type thing?
Totally. Yes.
Did you guys do something?
Yep, they took us to the, so the Christmas market is actually set up in the place where, and I've been singing this song like for 4 days now, but you know, the number at the beginning of the movie where she's singing, "I have confidence in springtime," you know, that one, and she's sort of going through the streets of Vienna. So, of Salzburg, I mean, so we saw a lot of those places, the arches that she passes through, the fountain that she splashes, where the bus stop is. We saw all of those.
The Abbey
where she lived, all of that, it's right there. And actually there were a couple of ladies who watched The Sound of Music on the plane on the way home. And so they sent screenshots of some of those scenes.
That's cool.
The garden where they filmed Doe a Deer is there. And so that was an optional. Amy stayed back and shopped or drank or something. I don't know what she was doing. But we, a small group of us went on to the gardens and the stairs where they do, you know, fa, so, so, la, ti, ti, or whatever it is. The little jumping stairs, you could have your picture taken there. Oh, you know, you could take a picture there. There's a archway of, I don't know, what is it called? But where Julie Andrews runs through during that number, and the kids run through. There's a fountain there that you see in the movie. So I need to watch the movie again now that I've seen it.
Perfect time of year to watch the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So we did do a little bit.
When you do just normal tours in Austria, you're always going to get a little smidgen of Sound of Music with every single tour, even if it's not a Sound of Music tour.
Yeah. That's
such a famous thing.
Yeah. That said, they don't, in Austria, they don't really care for the movie. Like, it's not a famous
movie. Understand our fascination with
it. They don't understand our fascination
with it.
They're
like, why are you taking a picture of that fountain again?
Yeah. and they certainly like to point out the anomaly that, and you know, this is a famous one where the mountain that the Drummond Trapp family goes over actually is not headed into safety. It's actually headed right into the Eagle's Nest area, where, you know, where the Nazi headquarters, where that mountain, like if that
in
mountain
the
that's there in Salzburg, that if they're heading over that, they're actually
going
the wrong way. But you know, Hollywood.
And another thing about Salzburg though, is that's where Mozart was born.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you can tour his house.
Yes.
We did not do that, but we saw the house
from
the
outside.
Yes. We got his chocolates too.
Yep. Yep, the famous Mozart chocolates. So I should have had some of those here for you to try. Oh, well.
I see they're still Halloween candy downstairs. Just grab some of that.
Well, I stocked up. So I still have 2 boxes of my Lindt chocolate I always get when I'm in Europe, and I bought 4 more. I love going to Europe 2 months, you know, within a month. It's twice.
And that's like when my friend Emma comes from the UK and she brings me all the chocolate.
So nice. Yeah. Oh, we have to find out. There was one agent who was going to bring Kinder eggs back. I have to find out if she made it across the border.
Yes, I'm curious too.
Yeah. But anyway.
Oh, you can get those now at Aldi because.
Yeah,
you know,
but they're.
Open it up.
It's not the real ones. They have like a special box around it, the toy, so that you won't choke on it. So there is. It's past FDA guidelines.
I saw this. Maybe I saw it in an ad. I can't remember. Those little eggy things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Everybody wants them because they can't have them. Not because they're delicious, because they really aren't.
Because description did not sound delicious.
No.
That's for sure.
No.
Can I say before you wrap it up, not that you're wrapping it up, well, probably pretty soon. This was an adventure by Disney cruise on Ama Waterways is what we went on, right? That's the correct way to say it. So I have to say, as somebody who does not sell a lot of Disney, I don't know a whole lot about Disney. I just, when I think Disney, I think, oh my gosh, these big characters and costumes are going to come out for picture time or story time. And I have to say, for those of you out there that are a little reluctant because you hear the word Disney in it, it's not that at all. I think when you think of this, you need to think more of the service of Disney and what Disney offers when you go and how magical and special it is to your kids when you go. And somehow it gets into you too. And you're excited when you're there. That's kind of how you are with this. They have these guides. What do they have? We had 6 guides on our cruise, and they were with us the entire cruise. They ate dinner. They slept on the cruise. They were with us on all the excursions. You really got to know them and their stories. And these guides, it's important to say too, they pick guides who are from the countries that you're visiting. and they speak great English, but you can definitely hear an accent, but they know so much about their country. And you know their stories. You get to know their stories. And Disney, one thing that left an impression on me that was reiterated several times is Disney is all about storytelling, and it's all about your story. And I felt that. I can just see where kids love these guides by the end of this week. And
yeah.
So I think it's more about the service.
So normally on an, and we've talked about adventure guides with Disney before, but we should revisit that because normally on an Adventures by Disney land tour, you have about 40 passengers and you have two adventure guides. And we talk about that all the time. That's very atypical of most escorted tours to have two. On an Adventures by Disney, the ship is obviously much larger than 40 capacity. They sail with about 160. So if you divide that out, that means you need 8 adventure guides. So on a normal full sailing, you would have 8 adventure guides. But you're not assigned an adventure guide. So, mm-hmm. you know, when you're on a land cruise, you have 2 adventure guides and you have those same 2 all the time. That's who you get. But with this one, you actually get all 8 of them. So there may be one who specializes in the more active excursion. So you may see them more often if you do all the active stuff. But in general, they'll also flip around a little bit and do different things. They have different areas of specialty and they're from different places. So, excuse me, we had 2 that were originally from Budapest or from Hungary, I should say. And 2 that were German. Mm-hmm. Do we have 2 Austrians?
What was Daniel Joseph?
I think Daniel Joseph was Austrian.
Okay, so he's Austrian.
Yeah, I think so. So we actually had a mix of nationalities, and they do what's called a fireside chat, where they tell you about their own history, and they're very moving. You might want to bring a box of tissues.
They are very moving.
Yeah, so the stories of Germany during the Cold War, of Hungary during the Cold War, just really, really moving presentations. So you really do get to know them. And they circulate and get to know you as well. So those guides definitely make things very, very special. And on an AMA cruise, you do have your cruise manager who serves as basically all the adventure guides on an AMA trip. And they do a phenomenal job as well. My experience with AMA's cruise managers is really outstanding. And that said, there's actually one of our adventure guides is also an AMA Waterways cruise manager. She does both. Mm-hmm. So not at the same time, but on one sailing, she may be a cruise manager. On another sailing, she may be an adventure guide. She came off one sailing as a cruise manager, joined us as an adventure guide, and went back and is a cruise manager for Heidi's cruise that's coming up. So so they're very, smart and very good at making sure everything runs smoothly.
It was seamless.
Yeah.
Even for all the chaos.
Yeah.
What must have been going on with them the week mm-hmm. before we got there. It was seamless. It was awesome.
Well, and even during, you know, they had to arrange our transfers to Nuremberg and at different times. You know, some people could go on an earlier transfer, then there were later ones. And yeah, and they were always, you know, when we transferred to Nuremberg, there was a guide on our bus. The next transfer that went out, there were guides on that bus. There's always guides there with you. They try to make sure that wherever you go, if you're not just venturing out on your own, you have a guide with you. And they're full of suggestions of where to eat and where to shop and where to, you know, sights to see and everything when you do have downtime.
So what age would you, for this particular sailing, the Danube River, what age group would you suggest? Would this be good for?
Yeah, I believe that the minimum is 8, if I'm not mistaken.
I was thinking 8 in my head too, but I'm wondering if
it's... Yeah, but I would tend toward, I mean, depending on the kid, I would tend toward 10 and up. Just because no matter how hands-on it is, it's still a lot of history. And the more context you have, the better off you'll be. I knew very, very little about Hungarian or Austrian history. I learned a lot about it. Fortunately, they only had like one emperor. So it was pretty easy to keep track of. She ruled for a long, long time. And that is a bit of an exaggeration. They had more than one, but a lot of what we learned about fell during a certain time period. So, so I would say I would want my kids to be a little bit older, just to have a little bit of historical context. Would you agree with that, Amy?
I do. And I think just even going to Europe too, I wouldn't want to go all the way over there with a 4-year-old who's going to forget everything anyways and not understand the importance and significance of what they're seeing. Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like it's a very eye-opening perspective, especially if they're talking to people who remember what it was like
in
the Cold War. Yes. You know, I mean,
and before the wall fell down.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's why you make your kids travel, you know, mm-hmm. so they can learn things about the world that they can't get.
Well, and none of our guides were old enough to remember World War II by any stretch of the imagination, but they grew up in Cold War. So, you know,
right.
60s yeah. and forward. Mm-hmm. So they definitely remember the wall coming down. And mm-hmm. It's such an interesting perspective from that.
I'd be excited to talk about Cuba whenever we do our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got some perspective of the USSR falling apart and how that affected Cuba, too. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. Well, that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. And a special thank you to Amy for joining us tonight.
Yay!
Thank you.
We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. And please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review in iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Elizabeth, Donna, Laura, and myself, Sandy, thanks for joining us this week, and we'll see you next time. Gotta fly!